الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من يامن سوءا يجز به سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم الله سبحانه وتعالى said in Quran من يعمل سوءا يجز به that whomsoever commits any sin any evil يجز به they will have to face the consequences of that sin they will have to face the repercussions of that sin Allahu Akbar When Allah Ta'ala says something in Quran, Azim al-Shan, Man ya'mal, I'd say the Arabic Azim al-Shan, Man, whomsoever, each and everyone, anyone, ya'mal, who in any sense of the word commits, su'an, any sin, any mistake, any evil, yudzabihi, will necessarily have to face the consequences and repercussions of that sin. Allahu Akbar. What could those consequences be? Can it be that Allah Ta'ala punishes us in this world, takes barakah out of our health, barakah out of our risk, barakah out of our time. Allah Ta'ala can take the lazat out of our ibadah, the sweetness out of our worship, take out the istiqamat in our zikr. Allah Ta'ala can take away the haya from our eyes. Allah Ta'ala can take away many, many things in this world. Can also mean that later in life, Allah Ta'ala will punish us for this sin. Maybe when we grow older, our children won't listen to us. Maybe when we grow older, we'll have some difficulty in life due to some sin we committed in our youth. In our grave, Allah Ta'ala can punish us for this sin by constricting the grave, by making us feel azab, punishment of the grave. On the day of judgment, Allah Ta'ala can punish us for this sin. And all the way, ultimately, if we show up on that day of judgment with a sin that we didn't make tawbah from, Allah Ta'ala can make us face the ultimate consequence of sin, which is to go into the fire of Jahannam and burn for that sin. We may have even forgotten that we even did that sin. We did it years ago. Years ago. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ That whomsoever commits any sin, Allah Ta'ala will make them face the consequences of it. Allahu Akbar. Ajeeb. So then what should we want? There must be some way, Ya Allah. There must be something we can do to get out of this. There must be something, because we're all sinners. We've all done sin. How can we get out of this consequence of sin? Because none of us can even handle the slightest repercussion of sin. Once I heard one alim, he said that the least punishment of Jannah is that a person will be placed over the fire of Jannah momentarily. But in that moment, the fire of Jannah will course through their feet, up through the entire body and melt their brain. That's the minimum punishment of Jahannam. Allahu Akbar. Mean you can't even handle the hot summer. You come visit me in July and June in Lahore. I put you outside in the sun for 5 minutes. You won't be able to handle it. You won't be able to handle it. Allahu Akbar. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ That whomsoever commits any sin, they will have to face the consequences of that sin. They will have to face the consequences of that sin. How can we get out of this? How can we get these consequences removed? How can we get these sins removed? Now we know Allah Ta'ala said He's Al-Ghafur Al-Ghafar, that He will forgive us for our sins. But in another place Allah Ta'ala said, what? That He will not forgive shirk. He will forgive anything other than that. But then Allah Ta'ala said a very interesting thing. لِمَنْ يَشَاء Whomsoever Allah wills. Is it the will of Allah Ta'ala? Who He forgives. Now how do we know that Allah Ta'ala is going to will to forgive me on the Day of Judgment? Can anybody say, I have a guarantee that I'm in that man yasha, that Allah Ta'ala will wish and will to forgive me on the Day of Judgment? Is there even any single sin of yours in your life that you can say about this one sin that I have Allah Ta'ala's guarantee that this one sin Allah will wish to forgive it on the Day of Judgment? I don't think any one of us can say that we have that. So on the one hand, yes, we get happy when we read this ayah that Allah Ta'ala can forgive anything except for shirk, and we say, Alhamdulillah, we don't have shirk, we're people of Tawheed. But it's not Allah will forgive, can forgive anything and everything other than shirk, will forgive whatever He wants for whoever He wants, and will not forgive whatever He wants for whoever He does not want. Allahu Akbar. Does anybody know? So there must be some way to get these sins forgiven. Ibn Taymiyyah Rahmatullahi, in one of his works, he was writing for some other reason, but interestingly he mentioned 10 ways to get our sins forgiven. 10 ways that a person can get their sins forgiven. So we want to share those 10 ways with you tonight. And we should not use one, not two. We need to use all 10 ways to get these sins forgiven. All 10 ways. Whole purpose of tonight is to look at these 10 ways, to make niyat in your heart that I'm going to use each and every one of these 10 ways, that I'm going to spend my whole life doing these 10 things over and over and over again, so that inshallah on the Day of Judgment I will be amongst those people, may yashaa, that Allah Ta'ala wants to forgive me for my sins. First thing he writes is tawbah. First thing is tawbah. What is tawbah? Tawbah means to purify the heart. Purify the heart through tawbah. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Antai wrote that if a person has sin, they have two choices. Either they can purify that sin through the fire of Jahannam, the same way the goldsmith melts the gold to remove its impurities, or they can purify their sin through the fire of tawbah. No hukmar. So this fire of tawbah purifies our sin. It means that you promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I'm never ever going to do that sin again. I have a real, true, deep, sincere intention that I'm never going to return to that sin. I will never repeat that sin. I never even want that sin again. I don't want to be tempted of that sin. I don't want to remember that sin. I don't want to be reminded of that sin. That's called tawbah. I have such true tawbah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us great hope in Quran. Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَ, that don't you know that Allah Ta'ala is that being who accepts tawbah? From who? يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ إِبَادِهِ, Allah Ta'ala accepts tawbah from His creatures, His servants, His slaves. وَيَأْخُذُ الصَّدَقَاتِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ, and indeed Allah is At-Tawwab and Ar-Rahim. Means Allah Ta'ala is that being who accepts our tawbah, and Allah Ta'ala is that being who is always going to send His mercy on us. Means in simple English, Allah Ta'ala is saying, I will accept your tawbah. Why? Because that's who I, Allah, am. I'm At-Tawwab. That's who I am. Allahu Akbar. Ajeeb. Sometimes people talk to each other like that, right? That don't worry, I'll take care of it. Trust me, I'll take care of it. But that's what I do. That's what I do. They try to convince you. That's what I do. I'll take care of it. You still think, that's who I am. I'll take care of it. That's what I'm all about. I'll take care of it. It's exactly what I was saying in Quran. Exactly what I was saying in Quran. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ, Allah, He is the one who accepts tawbah, and He is the one who is accepting your tawbah. Why? Because you made some great tawbah. No. Because He is Ar-Rahim. He is going to accept your tawbah because of His mercy. He's giving us more tasalli. Maybe a person got scared. I don't know if I made such a good tawbah. Will Allah Ta'ala accept it? Allah Ta'ala says, I accept your tawbah, not because you made some great tawbah, but because I'm Ar-Rahim. Out of my mercy, I will accept your tawbah. Allahu Akbar. This beautiful verse Allah Ta'ala says in Quran. Then Allah Ta'ala says another place, similar thing. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةً عِبَادِهِ, And Allah Ta'ala is that being who accepts tawbah from His worshipful servants and slaves. وَيَعْفُ عَنِ السَّيِّئَاتِ And then He pardons them for the evil things that they used to do. He overlooks it. Afwa. He overlooks, He pardons it. In Urdu we call it darguzar. He overlooks, He pardons it. This is another attribute. Afwa. Person may say, okay, Allah Ta'ala, out of your mercy, you will accept my tawbah. Let me explain to you. When you have a problem with someone and you want to make up with them, right? And you're thinking, how can I say sorry? How can I make up with them? Okay, I'll tell them I'm really sorry. I promise I'll never do it again. Right? And they say, okay. But there's one thing more you want. There's one thing more you're waiting for. That, okay, I told them sorry. They said it's okay. But my heart won't be completely content until they smile upon me once again. I know it's really okay. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, yes. Allah Ta'ala accepts your tawbah when you make tawbah. And وَيَعْفُ عَنِ السَّيِّئَاتِ He's going to smile upon you so you know He's pardoned your evil deeds. He will send smile upon you means He will send some fazl on you, some karam on you. His sifat al-afwa will come upon you to make you feel content that everything is okay. Ya Allah, you are at-tawwab and you are al-rahim and you are al-afwa. Al-afwa. Incredibly pardoning, incredibly forgiving, incredibly merciful, always accepting our tawbah, always accepting our tawbah. This is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lahu," that a person who makes tawbah from sin is as if they never ever made that sin. Now this is what you get in Arafat. You have to go for Hajj for this. No. When you go to Arafat and Hajj, the act of Hajj and being there in Arafat means that Allah will forgive all your sins as if you never did them. But right here, sitting at home, you can make tawbah in your heart from all of your sins. At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lahu. It will be as if you never ever did any of those sins. As if you never ever did any of those sins. Allahu Akbar. So easy. Allah Ta'ala has made it easy in this way for us to get these sins forgiven. So this is why Ibn Taymiyyah put this first. First and foremost, tawbah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. That all you who believe, you must make true tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, istighfar. What's the difference between istighfar and tawbah? Tawbah means in the future to make a promise that you will never return to that sin. Istighfar means for the sin that you did in the past to beg Allah Ta'ala for His maghfirah, to beg that Allah Ta'ala forgives our sin. To beg Him is for forgiveness. It means to apologize and to say sorry for the sins that we did in the past. Alright. Here we look in Quran. No, first I'll show you a hadith from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's narrated in the collection of Imam Bukhari and of Imam Muslim. Qala Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِذَا أَذْنَبَ عَبْدٌ When any servant and slave commits a sin, إِذَا أَذْنَبَ عَبْدٌ ذَنْبَ فَقَالَ أَيْ رَبِّي Oh my Rabb, Oh my Allah, أَذْنَبْتُ ذَنْبًا I committed a sin. فَغْفِرْ لِي Ya Allah, You forgive me. Whenever my servant commits a sin and says, Oh my Rabb, I committed a sin, forgive me, فقال Allah Ta'ala says, عَلِمَ عَبْدِي أَنَّ لُهُ رَبًّا يَغْفِرُ ذَنْبًا Oh, look at this servant of mine. He knows that he has a Rabb who forgives him for his sins. He knows that. He knows that he has a Rabb who forgives him for his sins. وَيَعْقُدُ بِهِ كَذْ غَفَرْتُ لِعَبْدِي That, oh no, that I have forgiven my slave. Just he says, Oh my Rabb, forgive me. Allah says, I forgive you, my slave. Then hadith continues, ثُمَّ أَذْنَبَ ذَنْبًا آخَرَ And then he commits another sin, a different sin, a new sin. Commits yet another sin. So what does he do then? فَقَالْ So he says, أَيْ رَبِّي Oh my Rabb. Same thing. أَذْنَبْتُ ذَنْبًا آخَرَ Oh my Rabb, now I committed another sin. Now I committed another sin. فَغْفِرْهُ لِي Ya Allah, forgive this one for me also. Then the Prophet ﷺ, فَقَالَ رَبُّهُ Then his Rabb will say to him, Alima Abni Annalahu Rabban Yaghfiru Dhanba. Oh, my servant and slave, he still knows that he has a Rabb who will forgive him for his sins. Kad ghafartu li amdi. I have forgiven my servant their sins. Fal yaf'al ma sha'a. Let him do whatever he wants. Yes? Allahu Akbar. What does it mean? It doesn't mean let him do whatever he wants. This is in Sahih Bukhari Muslim. It doesn't mean you can keep sinning. What it means that if every time they sin, they always turn in true istighfar to Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will always send His forgiveness on them. And if they do it a second time and a third time with a different sin, a new sin, a fourth sin, every time they sin, as long as they ask Allah to forgive them, Allah Ta'ala says, I will definitely forgive them. Allahu Akbar. Ajib. How much guarantee we have from this hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forgive us for our sins. So this was the second thing called istighfar. Istighfar makes a person accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why you will see in our deen, so many times we have to make istighfar. So many times. After salah, what happens? We say Allahu Akbar, and then we say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. What did we just do? Were we sinning? No. You were praying. You said Allahu Akbar to testify that Allah is far greater than your ibadah. But why the istighfar? So many ulama, mashayikh, they mention different reasons. One reason is this is a moment of qubuliyat of dua. Yes, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after fard salah, your duas are accepted. So this person, after they first said Allahu Akbar, they praised Allah Ta'ala, Allah, I'm nothing, my salah was nothing, you are everything, you are far greater than my salah. But now they know dua is accepted, they immediately worried about their sins. The first thing they're worried about when they know Allah Ta'ala is opening up the window for applications is they're worried about their sin. They make istighfar. Then Allah Ta'ala says in Quran about Hajj, ثُمَّ أَفِيذُ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفَاذَ النَّاسِ. That when you return from that place where people return from, and when you come back from Arafat, what should you do? You should make istighfar. Ya Allah, he's coming back from Arafat. He's just been forgiven. He's like a newborn baby. Allah says, right now he should begin his newborn baby journey with istighfar. Always seeking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah mentions in Quran that the people who used to pray tahajjud, what would they do? End of the night, they prayed all night, half night, one third night. وَبِلْ أَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Ya Allah, they're not sinning at night. They weren't ghafil at night. They were doing ibadah at night. Allah says, yes, but this is the way they are. This is the way they are. After all of that night worship, they're begging Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. وَبِلْ أَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allahu Akbar. So in our deen, there's so much emphasis on istighfar. Now can you imagine that the person who prays has to make istighfar, the person who goes on hajj has to make istighfar, the person who prays tahajjud has to make istighfar, and me and you, the sinners? How much then should a sinner make istighfar? Huh? How much istighfar should we make? That's why our mashayikh, they teach us to make istighfar 100 times a day. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbi wa atubu ilay. What does it mean? Astaghfirullah. I seek the forgiveness of Allah. Rabbi, that I betrayed that Allah who is Rabbul Alameen, yes, but He's also Rabbi. He did everything for me. He gave me everything from the moment I was born. He's my Rabb, and I betrayed Him. So I seek the forgiveness of Allah who did everything for me. Min kulli dhanbin, from each and every one of my sins. You see, you will see in the cell phone that when there are messages, you can sometimes hit delete. And when you hit delete, it goes away forever. And there's another beautiful command, it's called delete all. And you hit delete all, and they all go away forever. So when we say min kulli dhanbin, we are actually hitting delete all. Allah Ta'ala, I'm seeking your forgiveness, and you are my Rabb, you gave me all. Min kulli dhanbin, I'm deleting all of my sins. Wa atubu ilay, and now I turn afresh in tawbah towards you, that from now on my life will be for you. My life will be based on what you want. My life will be for the sake of seeking your pleasure. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilay. So second thing he mentioned was istighfar. All right. Third thing. First thing that can help us get out of these consequences of sin was tawbah. Second thing is called istighfar. Third, Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. So the good deeds, they can wipe away the bad deeds. So third way we can remove the consequences of sin is by doing more good deeds. More and more and more good deeds. And our mashayikh, they taught us something special about this ayah, that you should try to do a good deed to remove the bad deed from the same category of action. What does it mean? So if you committed some particular type of sin, you should try to do a good deed in the same category of action. For example, if somebody was sinning and they used to drink liquor, drink alcohol, so they should try to commit a good deed. What? They should try to have a well of clean drinking water dug in some place in Africa, and they should make niyyah that, Ya Allah, I sinned by drinking that thing that was impure, so I'm trying to make it up by helping my fellow mu'mineen drink water that is pure. It's called min jinsi amal, to try to do a good deed from the same category. Or for example, if a person didn't have haya, and they violated their haya in any of many different ways, so then they should make up that sin from a good deed. How? Maybe there's some young man who wants to get married, he wants to preserve his haya, everything has been arranged, but because he doesn't have the money, he can't get married. So maybe say, okay, I'll give him some help. Help him get married. My secret intention is, I'm helping him get married in order to help him preserve his haya. Ya Allah, I couldn't preserve my haya, but I helped him preserve his haya. You do a good deed to make up the bad action. If sometimes maybe some of us even used to invite others to sin, maybe we were the reason why other people sinned. Yes, maybe we used to tell people, do this, do that. We actually involved others in sinning. So, and to make it up, that what? Be a person of da'wah. Invite people to hasanat. And say, Ya Allah, before I used to invite people to sayyat, before they used to look at me and they used to sin because of me, before I was the leader of the group and the leader of the crowd and they used to sin because of me, now Allah Bikreem, I'm trying to make it up to you by making good deed, of giving nasiha, of da'wah, of trying to bring them to hasanat. So to make up for the bad deed by doing some type of good deed. And we should make niyat that, Ya Allah, even it goes further than this. How? Allah has also said in Quran, here is that the hasanat can remove the sayyat. Allah has even go even further, that Allah Ta'ala can change the sayyat into hasanat. Allah Ta'ala can change our sayyat into hasanat. I remember once, you may have heard of this person, but definitely in Pakistan he's well known, Junaid Jamshid. And so he came, we invited him to give talk in Lahore at our university. And when he came, he said something, Allahu Akbar, that really moved the crowd. He said, I have only one hope in my life. And he mentioned this ayah. He said, my greatest hope in my life is that Allah Ta'ala will change my sayyat into hasanat. Allahu Akbar. Ajib. We should have that same dua to Allah Ta'ala. It can be many things. Allah Ta'ala, change my sins into good deeds. Change my ghaflat into zikr. Yes? Ya Allah, you have that power. Every second of my life I spent in ghaflat, change it and make it as if I spent every second of my life in zikr. Every second of my life in which I forgot that I was your abd, change it and make it as if I spent that time of my life remembering that I was your abd. Change my sayyat into hasanat. Allah is Allah. Allah Ta'ala can do that. And we should want Allah Ta'ala to do that. We should be begging Allah Ta'ala to do that. We don't make dua for this. How many people have made that dua? Ya Allah, change my sayyat into hasanat. Allah Ta'ala said it, but we're not asking Him for it. It's only when we start begging Allah Ta'ala, making dua to Allah Ta'ala, that this will happen. So first thing to erase the consequences of sins, tawbah. Second thing to erase consequences of sins, istighfar. Third thing to erase consequences of sin is the hasanat. To do good deeds, to remove the effect of the bad deeds. Fourth thing, dua al-mu'minina lil-mu'min. That the dua of believers for their fellow believer. Yes, it's called dua maghfirah. The whole purpose of Salatul Janazah is actually the dua. So we, as many people gather together, as many that can make dua for the maghfirah of that person, it can be a means of wiping away the sins of the person even after they have passed away from this world. So then imagine then if in our lifetime we can get people to make dua maghfirah for us, how effective that will be in wiping away our sins. So that's why when somebody goes on Umrah or Hajj, you ask them to make dua for maghfirah for you. You should ask one another. Young should ask old should ask young. Husband should ask wife should ask husband. Parents should ask children should ask parents. Sheikh should ask student should ask sheikh. Yes, Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, once he couldn't go for Umrah, that's a detailed story in Sirah, so he sent Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu in his, to be Amir of the group who was going for Umrah. And when Sayyidina Umar was going, Sayyidina Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told Sayyidina Umar that make dua for me. Allahu Akbar, he's Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But he's teaching us, amalan, practically showing the ummah, that dua of a believer for a fellow believer, even the dua of a sahabi for the Nabi is accepted. And that's why me and you, we make dua for the Prophet all the time, after every azan. We also got included, Allah Ta'ala is so sweet. It's ajeeb dua. You know that Allah Ta'ala has already decided to give maqam mahmood to Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has already decided to give Nabi Akram maqam mahmood. But Allah Ta'ala wanted to include us in the process. Like sometimes you feel, okay, let me include, make that person feel that they're part of it. You don't really need to, but you just include them. You tell them to join you just so they feel included in the process. So Allah Ta'ala decided to include us in the process. Yes, this is a very important dua, and people forget to make it. You should make it after every adhan, whether you hear the adhan or not. You should make this dua 5 times a day. Why? Now there's a beautiful story that Allahu Alam, but it's a story that when Ibrahim alayhi salam was being thrown into the fire, and Allah Ta'ala told the fire to be cool, right? But there was a little sparrow, chirya, a little bird, and she flew over the fire, and she dropped, in her small little beak, she dropped few drops of water on the fire. So an angel, he asked the bird, said, what are you doing? It's not going to make any effect. And she said, I know it's not going to have any effect, but on the day of judgment, if Allah Ta'ala calls, who are those people who tried to put out the fire that was threatening my Khalil, Khalilullah, I want to be able to say, Ya Allah, I tried. Listen carefully, I want to be said to Allah Ta'ala, I tried. The chiriya, she had marifat. This is what the Masaik teach us. Make effort, make mujahada, try for your tazkiyah. Why? At least on the day of judgment, you can say, Allah, I tried. I went to Bayan, I tried. I sat with that sheikh, I tried. I did the zikr, I tried. I went for Umrah, I tried. I sat for itikaf, I tried. I made dua to you that one time, I tried. So she said, I wanted to be able to say, I tried. Okay, now the person who makes dua 5 times a day, so Nabi Akareem some can have maqam-e-mahmood. Maqam-e-mahmood. 5 times a day, so 365 days a year. That is 1825 times a year. Let's say they do that for 40 years of their life. So they'll show up on the day of judgment, Ya Allah, I made about 70,000 times dua that Nabi Akareem some have this maqam-e-mahmood. I also tried. Allah Ta'ala will tell Nabi Akareem some, you go do a shifa. He made 70,000 times dua for you to have maqam-e-mahmood. You make a shifa. We didn't give it to you because of their duas. Allah gave it because He loves the process. Allah included us in the process. We're strange people. We want to make them do shafaat for us, but we don't make dua from maqam mahmood. Just think about it. You call that loyalty? You want on the day of judgment that Nabi Akram Sam should do shafaat for you, but you don't want to make this dua after adhan. Forget to make the dua. That's not right. So dua of the believer for the fellow believers is also a way that we can get these sins forgiven. Can get these sins forgiven and save ourselves from the consequences of sin. Fifth sabab, ما يعمل للميت من أعمال البر. This is what you call إصال الصواب. Yes, this is Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه سمجھنے والے سمجھیں. Yes? What is done for the mayit, the person who has died already? What is done after they die on their behalf, min a'malil bir, from any single good deed of any kind? This is called isali sawab. Why? Because this person must have done something in their life due to which somebody is remembering them still. Otherwise, it's not that easy. Not every one of us can say we know that. How many of us say, I know for sure that after I die, there will be somebody to read some Quran and send the sawab to me. There will be somebody when they go to Makkah, they remember me, make one tawaf for me, make one umrah for me. There will be somebody who sends some durood sharif and gives niyat of sawab for me. Who can say, I know there will be somebody like that? And even if you think maybe somebody might be like that, how many years will that last? Maybe 1 year, maybe 2 year, maybe a few years. Look at ourselves. How much have we even done for our own forefathers? We don't even know our forefathers. I know my father's name. I know my grandfather's name. I know my great-grandfather's name. That's it. I don't even know my great-great-grandfather's name. Mitge. I don't even know a name. But there are some people who are lucky. They're people who, after they pass away, Allah Ta'ala puts it in the hearts of people. They must have done something for the sake of those people. Allah Ta'ala puts it in the hearts of those people. That's why in our tariqah of tasawwuf, this khatamat al-khwajagan is very important. Don't take it lightly. Why? Because those mashayikh spent their whole lives teaching these teachings of tazkiyah so that they would reach us. And those mashayikh used to always make dua, not just for their students. They would make dua for all of the silsila, all the way until the end of time. So the least we can do is sometimes recite some kalimat, some ayat, some durood sharif, and send it as isal al-sawab to them. That is called khatamat in our silsila. Khatamat al-khwajagan. So this is also something. This is also something. And just so you listen to what Ibn Taymiyyah has said, it's ajeeb. فَإِنَّ هَذَا يَنْتَفِعُ بِهِ بِنُسُوسِ السُنَّةِ السَّهِيهَةِ السَّرِيهَةِ وَإِتِّفَاقِ الْآئِمَّةِ. If anybody wants one line on Isal al-Sawab, it means in English that this has been established absolutely conclusively through authentic and explicit hadith and through the ijma' of the entire imams of this ummah that Isal al-Sawab is haq. So this is another way. Now, one way that you can hope this will happen for you is if you do it for somebody else. So who better to do it than for our mashayikh, ulama, awliya, asatizah, sahaba? There are some beautiful people. They give one qurbani every year and they give niyat of sawab to Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes? Because Sayyidina Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave qurbani once for himself and once for, he made niyat of whole ummah. So we should get into this practice of making this. So this is the fifth way that our sins can be forgiven. Sixth one. Al-masa'ibul lati yukaffiru Allah biha al-khataya fi dunya. That Allah Ta'ala sends difficulties on a person. Difficulties. These difficulties come to a person in order to remove the effect of their sins. Sometimes difficulties come upon a person in order to punish them for their sins. So the question is that how do we know what difficulty has come upon a person for which reason? How do we know? Right? Because masaib come. Masaib means musibat, in Urdu means difficulty, test, trial, affliction, setback. So how do we know? Has this difficulty come to me as a punishment for sins that I did? Or is this difficulty like this that is coming to me actually because Allah Ta'ala wants to forgive me for my sins by giving me this difficulty, this worry? So it's very easy. Our mashayikh have explained to us how to tell the difference.